But at the end of the day, we just love to help people win because that's what makes me feel good. I love it. I absolutely love it when my client just gets as much as they could have or as the least amount of headache they could have.
Rockstars out there, and welcome to another episode of New Home Stars Real Estate Rockstars Podcast. Join us, learn with us, and grow with us as we have real conversations with real professionals in the real estate industry. I'm your host, Tori, here with my kick butt co-host,
Coppers.
And we're here to rock it out.
Today, we're joined by Steve Galvan from Twin Brother Property Group. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Can you tell us a little about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Steven Galvan. I am in San Antonio, Texas, almost 45 years old. I'm a lifelong Texas native, graduated from Texas A&M University, and I've been involved in real estate since about 2000, married and working on some kiddos, but we have two fur babies. And I'm in business with my brother, Chris Galvan, who is my identical twin.
I was guessing that with the Twin Brother Property Group. I was like, you must have a twin.
Yep. I do have a twin. I wrangled him in the business. I'm sure we'll get to that. But yeah, we have a great partnership, and being lifelong San Antonio natives has really helped us grow and sustain a really great network of clients in our community here in South Texas.
That's awesome. Well, I am also a Texas native, born and bred, but in Dallas, San Antonio.
No, that's fine. You're from Texas. That's okay.
I know. So I was born and raised in a little suburb called Coppell. I don't know if you're familiar with Dallas as much.
Yes, I am. I have cousins out in Plano. They went to Plano East High School. And so a lot of friends in Dallas.
My high school rivals, but I'll forgive you. I won't judge. So talk to us a little bit how you got involved into real estate.
I got involved in real estate twice. So the first time was a few years after college. I was working at a car dealership. I was selling cars and they called me into the office. I had sold the most cars that I've ever sold in a month. They called me in. I thought I was getting an award. Turns out I was getting fired.
Love it.
So yeah, it was one of those welcome to the real world, Steve, because I was just out of college. And then I told my dad, hey, listen, I'm out of a job. He says, well, look, I need some help with what I'm doing. And what my dad was doing, he was purchasing easements and rights of way for big water pipeline projects down here in Bexar County in South Texas and San Antonio. So he just gave me some title commitments. He start reading through these and start contacting people and drive out there and see if you can get in touch with the owners. So I did that for actually 7 years straight. I was working on big, huge water pipeline projects. Then that completely dried up because we were self-employed. We were depending on government projects. I started the gym in 2009. And then in 2012, my dad had another project and I wasn't making any money in the gym. It was just a labor of love. And I went out to buy some land from a really wealthy landowner down here. And he had me over for dinner and we were talking because I had to buy some land. He wasn't real happy about it, but he was a nice guy. And so he asked me, he said, Steve, how much land do you own? And I just looked at him and I said, I don't own any land, sir. And he said, what the beep is wrong with you? And then it just hit. It just hit. I'm like, what am I doing? I need to be back into real estate full time. So the next day I went to go to the real estate school to see how much it cost to be a realtor, a residential realtor, because I knew that that was probably going to be my niche. I enrolled in school and a few months later, I was rocking and rolling as a real estate professional here in San Antonio.
And that's quite the journey just to get to that spot. For those that don't know much about it, so you're purchasing land for easements, meaning you worked for the water company and you were buying land where the pipes needed to go, or how did that work?
We were essentially contractors for the engineering company. It was just a big, huge proposal that we put out to be in charge of all the land acquisition. So we were buying easements as well as fee simple. So just straight up buying land for pump stations and water lines. Some were sewer lines, some were just water transmission lines. But I mean, you're talking 6-foot pipelines at 150-foot easements. So you're going through rural areas. You're taking people's land from them. They were not happy. I mean, we got threatened to be shot several times and it was pretty rough.
So when you send your brother instead?
No, so my brother wasn't even involved at all. So it was just me and my dad. I realized that there's so much wealth in real estate and it was very fascinating to me. And I love solving complex problems. So for residential, it's a shorter cycle. Like you can get someone in and out of a deal within 30, 45 days kind of thing. So it really played to my strengths. The housing market in San Antonio was just on fire. And so I said, why not? Let's try it. I've tried everything else. I'm not afraid of risk. So I just went and got my license. And as soon as I got it, I really never looked back. I never really had a slow period. I was very, very fortunate.
Kudos to you. Getting a license in Texas is no joke. Being licensed in a couple states now, it's like 180 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But it's really honestly not that bad. I mean, there's classes that Texas has teamed up with schools and they allow you to sit in class for 2 days and that's 30 hours. It's really not that bad. You just pass the test and you're good to go. That's actually the easiest part of being a real estate agent is passing the test. The rest is very challenging.
Oh, that was my life. I failed that test 5 times.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm in Arizona. I have a master's degree in education. The hardest thing I ever did was pass a real estate test. I'm not even kidding.
Wow. Yeah. That is amazing. 5 times. Well, there's a guy in our office that failed it like 17 times, and he's one of the top producing agents in the entire nation.
Wow.
Yeah, so it goes to show you that book smarts doesn't always translate to being really, really successful and vice versa, right? It's really interesting. I love real estate. I love the opportunities it provides for me and for my family. And I love to help people.
So if you're watching this video and you want to start looking at homes with the best realtor in town, think twice and call Chris Galvan. Or if you actually want to buy a home, think twice and call Steve Galvan. If you want to work with a realtor that has a family, has children, and knows what you need to buy a house when you have kids, think twice and call me. Well, if you want a realtor that's actually working and not spending all his time with his kids and family, think twice and call me. If you want a realtor who works out and eats right and takes care of himself, give me a call. If you want a realtor who's not always at the gym every day, getting no progress, give me a call. Well, if you want a realtor who doesn't have to wear a CPAP at night to sleep, give me a call. If you want a realtor that can bench press his own body weight, give me a call. If you want a realtor that can eat his own body weight, then give him a call.
So our very first encounter with you was April Fool's Day video with your brother. Can you tell us more about your, can you tell us more about your relationship with him? And how did you decide to go into real estate with him in the beginning with?
It's a great question. So Chris and I have always been close. I mean, we're identical twins. I'm very competitive. I'm almost borderline too competitive sometimes. And so my brother is more of a people pleaser. So there were times in our lives where we weren't always seeing eye to eye because I was just a bull in the china shop. But once I got into real estate and realized, wow, this is something that I love to do and it plays into my strengths very well. It's high energy and I get to make a living. I immediately thought I have to get my brother involved because if I can do it, he can do it. And I want him to succeed. I love my niece and nephew, his two kids, his wife. I love him so much that I was just like, hey, this is a better life. I'm just going to get you involved in a better life. I'm going to improve your life if you get into real estate. So as soon as I knew it was real, I was just hammering him to join. And it took 8 months. I even bought his wife some Tory Burch sandals. They were like $250 as like a bribe. Please let him join my team. Like, please, like anything. I'll keep giving you gifts. It doesn't matter. Like, just give him a shot. So after 8 months and many interviews and conversations and heart-to-heart meetings, his wife was like, okay, you have my blessing. Try it for a year. Try as best as you can. And man, my brother just took off. He may even beat me this year in production, the way it's going. He's crushing it.
That's cool to hear. I'm sure there's a lot of people out listening that can relate to jumping into a field that not a lot of people have a ton of expertise in. They rely on realtors like ourselves to have that knowledge and to learn it, to jump entirely into something that a lot of people think is risky. And the reality is, if you have that drive and that determination, you're good with people and you can really sync well with the team, you're going to do well. There's a lot of things that would tell us, hey, we're going to be doing just fine. I love that story.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. It's just a certain skill set and personality type that I think does really, really well in real estate. I truly believe high energy, like you've got to have energy. You have to ooze energy and get people excited because real estate's not always real pretty. Sometimes it gets a little messy. So you got to get people through all that. But yeah, I just saw it in my brother. You know, like I said, we're almost 45. So we're both mature enough. There's not a lot of ego. I don't care who owns the company. I don't care whose name's on the billboard. None of that matters to me. Let's just improve our lives and help people. So I wrangled him in.
What has been crucial to your success, would you say?
So for me, was my time spent in the gym, I had trained probably 800 to 1,000 people. So I had a really good network of people that I knew very, very well. I mean, I knew them all the way down to their eating habits and their biggest fears, right? The things that made them scared and their motivation. So I developed a lot of trust. And so when I went into real estate, so many people got excited for me because they knew it was a step in the right direction. So I believe owning my business before and just putting in so many years of grinding it out and just being that guy they could always depend on, it helped launch my career. It really did. I just sold all kinds of houses in my first year for a guy that had never done residential real estate.
What would you say fires you up?
So for me, what fires me up is closing deals that are the most complicated, where your value as a real estate agent really shines. Just recently, I closed a deal that took me 6 months to prepare just to get on the market. And it was a widow who had clutter all over her house and whose house needed updating. And it was a really funky layout. And her contractor was never showing up. And there was just all kinds of stuff wrong. So I was there every week checking on things, giving her advice, helping her declutter, giving her the plan. We got through the holidays. Everything was slow. Then she went to the hospital and she came back out. And so I said, listen, you have to clean it. You've got all this stuff out. We're good. I'm going to stage it. I'm going to pay for the staging and we're going to sell this thing. So she wanted to get about $200,000 for it. After we cleaned it up, I said, well, look, $219 is probably a good startup. And I posted some pics in a real estate broker group. And we had an offer for $250 the next day and it closed. But it took 6 months from a widow who just needed help, didn't have any direction. And it could easily have been taken advantage of by an investor or I guess a not as savvy real estate agent who would have just given her poor advice. She would have probably gotten closer to the $200,000 mark. Instead, I put $50,000 extra in her pocket. And that's what she's going to be able to live on for the rest of her life. I mean, she's older, and those kind of complicated deals where my expertise and my work ethic really shine, that's what fires me up the most. I could care less about the easy slam dunk deals where it's a 3-2 and hottest market in San Antonio. Those just fly off the shelf. I like the ones that are a little grimy and a little dirty and a little complicated. And I really love to flex all my muscles and knowledge and get it done, even if it takes half a year. Doesn't matter.
I think a lot of people can relate. There's the easy deals all over the place, especially while we're recording this. The market is just insane. What I think I'm hearing you say is being able to help somebody that otherwise wouldn't have gotten the value without you.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. So I became a critical component to their success because anybody can stick a sign in a yard and sell it. Like it will sell at whatever price and it may be a little bumpy, but when you can just make it go almost seamlessly, or when you can tackle all the challenges and obstacles like a pro and get it done and keep a cool head, then that's a special level, I think, of service and knowledge and temperament for a real estate agent. And so for me, that's where I shine. It's when it gets a little messy and I can come in there and clean it up. There's a character on Pulp Fiction named the Wolf. Yeah, they call him when the things are real messy, right? And they're like, oh, you're calling the Wolf? So I feel like there's times where I'm the Wolf, right? Oh, I got this really messy situation. All right, call in Steve and he'll get it done. So it's really exciting for me.
I think that also is the difference between why realtors are so important and doing your research on getting a really good realtor. It's the difference between just like, okay, great, I'll sell it at $200,000. Versus doing your research, having a good realtor who's staging your home and saying, hey, you know what, based on all of these things that we've done, we actually can go higher. And it's the difference between 200 and 250,000. I think that's fantastic. I'm going to put a pitch in there. You'd be great for new construction. So if you ever want to come to New Homestar, let us know, you know.
Well, hey, I love new construction. You know, the issue we've got down here is that it's hard to get anything. It's such the Wild West right now. It's very challenging right now. So I've had to take a few steps back and really just examine how my process is going to help my clients get new construction, but it's been a challenge. I just love helping people, love serving them at the highest level. And my brother's got the servant's heart. So another thing why I got involved with Chris is because he's like me, but he's a little softer. He handles things a little bit nicer. I'm more direct and I'm more aggressive. I'm still very nice. I'm a little more aggressive and he compliments me really well. But at the end of the day, we just love to help people win because that's what makes me feel good. I love it. I absolutely love it when my client just gets as much as they could have or as the least amount of headache they could have. So it's amazing. It's a great feeling.
Steven, can you tell us a little bit about generational wealth? I know this is a big part of why you chose to go into real estate and what you focus on with your clients.
Absolutely. So there's been studies, I don't have the studies with me, but there's been studies that show that families that own a home, their kids are more likely to go to college and be successful later. So there's just something to be said about the pride of ownership and the steps that you take to get to be able to own something. And so it transcends into your children when you've shown your kids, hey, listen, if you work really hard and save and you manage your credit, you take care of stuff, you too can own things. People will give you money. And when people can give you money, then you can leverage that money and start a business, have a place to live. You can have a rental property that then produces passive income for you. So if you multiply that all out, I can get a client to get 5 to 10 homes in 10 years. If they do it right, then they can retire in 25 years and live off that passive income. If you just rent or if you never own, then there's just no way to leverage anything. You don't have any ownership. You don't have any equity. And so I truly believe everybody should try to be a homeowner. It's not for everybody. Let's face it. Not everybody's great with their money and great with responsibilities. But it's my belief that I can try to help educate people to get there, to manage their credit, to clean up their habits that cause them to leak money. And say, hey, look, like, how do you view money? Let's talk about it. What kind of life do you want? And start living your life every day for the type of life you want down the road. So that's huge for me. I love helping people. In fact, my brother has 5 or 6 clients from Burma. So Myanmar, war-torn country, refugees everywhere. And they've come over. This is crazy. 5 people in their family. Only one works. Only one has a car and none of them speak English and they own a home. So tell me it's not possible for a regular American who's used to the culture, who's assimilated, to not own a home when you can get people from a war-torn, ravaged country like Burma to immigrate to the United States, speak no English, only one job, 3 kids, and they can own a house. I believe in it. I believe it's just a great thing to help people to be able to have ownership in real estate. And in a home, and it's great for their family, and they could pass that along to their family when they're gone.
That's fantastic.
I love that. So kind of expounding on that a little, what would you say to the prospective buyer and what do they need to do to set themselves up for success when they're going to own a home their very first time?
That's a great question. So 2 years ago, it was a little different, right? $500 down and you can buy a house, right? It's a little different now. So for my prospective buyers, it's where's your credit at, how long you've been at your job, and how much cash do you have in the bank? Cash is kind of king right now. Now, if they're going new build, then we can rely on the builder for some incentives, for some credit, if we use their lender. So that really, really helps. But really cleaning up their credit, managing their expenses, and then actually doing a budget with their spouse. If they don't have a spouse, then just sitting down and doing a budget, especially my younger buyers, I require a budget from them. I want to see what you spend your money on because you want to get into debt. It's going to be good debt. This house is going to be good debt. But if your spending habits are going to exceed your income, like this house may be a problem for you when something breaks or something goes wrong. So I like to analyze their situation, how they view money, and if they're really financially mature to get ready to own a house. So for me, it's very important to take those steps to make sure that they're prepared because I think that they'll feel like I wasn't just trying to make a commission. I really care about their long-term financial future.
That's so wise. And I think that's what speaks differently to someone with a servant heart versus somebody that's just transactional. And, oh yeah, I can get you a house. What are you trying to spend? But to put the onus on yourself and think about how that just reflects into referrals and additional business and the stories that they have to tell. You have to work a little harder, right, in that instance. But yeah, overall, I mean, like, it's just going to pour on more and more business. I think that is incredible. Good choice.
Absolutely. I mean, that's 100% it. You just got to put the hard work up front and then the referrals will come for years because they know you took care of them. They know that you're in it for their best interest. I mean, I just have a client right now that they went from a $400,000 budget to a $250,000 budget. And I said, this is the smarter play right now is $250,000. you guys don't have any kids, you're young, this isn't your forever home, there's no reason to do this, like, just go low and then build. This could be a rental later. I told people, like, hey, should I sell my house? I'm like, no, I think you should keep your house and go buy another house and use it as a rental. But if you have to sell it, I can get you top dollar. So I'm always on that side of, hey, buy and hold as best as you can, because it will pay off. I mean, look at it now. My wife and I bought a property 2 years ago, and it's already gone up like $70,000 in just value since we bought it. $70,000. You know, we just keep waiting and wait. And then at some point, you know, we'll be millionaires because we just bought and held. So I love it.
That's awesome. What is the best advice you have ever received?
Well, the best non-real estate advice was from my dad. He said, call your mother. So there's the first best advice. But the best real estate advice, I have a coach. His name is Steve Collins. He's a Zig Ziglar certified coach. And he really puts things into perspective, like my entire life as an agent, and not just a real estate agent, I'm a human being. So for me, playing the long game in real estate, taking care of my health, taking care of my family, being present for my wife and for my parents as they age, that's number one. Like, God and family is number one, then real estate. So it keeps me grounded. I don't live and die by every deal, but I have energy all the time to serve my clients. Because if you just go, 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 and you get burnt out, like, you're no good to anybody. I mean, Mike, I'm sure you know that feeling, just tired and burnt out, and nobody wants to be around you. You don't want to be around anyone. So I really play the long game. I take care of myself, spend time with my family, and then just follow my schedule. Other than that, it's actually pretty easy.
I absolutely love that. And thank you so much for coming out and talking with us today. And it is time to transition to Copper's favorite part of the episode. Copper's, tell us more about rapid fire questions.
All right, Steve. So I'm going to ask you 10 questions and you need to answer them quickly with whatever came to the top of your head right then. Short answers. Don't overthink it, but there's 10 questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. Number one, what would you do if you knew you could not fail?
I would start my own real estate company.
Number two, what is your biggest pet peeve?
People who leave the shopping carts out in the parking lot.
Good one.
Number three, what's on your nightstand?
A phone charger and a lamp. That's it.
Simple enough. Number four. Number four, what's one thing that lives in your car?
My golf club.
Number five, when do you feel inspired?
After a really, really good workout.
Number six, what is the last thing you binge watched?
The Queen's Gambit. I've seen it 5 times.
Number seven, what's your favorite morning ritual to inspire you for the day?
Coffee, and I listen to the Bible a Day podcast. So it's just maybe a couple of verses. It's about a 20-minute podcast. Coffee and that, although I can't have coffee anymore because apparently I have an overactive bladder or something like that, my doctor said. So no coffee. So I'm a sad panda right now, but coffee and then the Bible in a day. And I just feel clarity. It's so awesome.
Number eight, what's your all-time favorite book?
Not a huge reader. I'll just say that right now. Like, audiobooks are hard for me to finish, but if I had to say, it would be The Millionaire Real Estate Agent by Gary Keller.
Number nine, if you could describe yourself in one word, what would it be?
It would be, oh, wow, outgoing.
Join the club.
Number 10, if you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be?
Helping disadvantaged kids.
I love it.
All right, so we got one more thing for you. So every week in New Home Stars Real Estate's Rockstars podcast, we cover a peer learning question of the week. Peer learning is a resource inside our in-house training and development platform where sales associates from across the country are able to ask questions and receive answers quickly. So I'm going to ask you a question we specifically picked for you and see what your advice would be for them.
Okay.
All right. So are you seeing certain motivators in buyers right now since the market is so hot? A family motivation, a financial motivation, Do rising prices due to material costs seem to be an issue for them?
Yes. So I believe that the interest rates being abnormally low has really spawned the desire to buy a house. But now we're seeing that lumber being 280% higher or whatever it is, it's now pricing people out of what they thought they could afford even 6 weeks ago. So it's a big challenge. I think everybody sees that people are buying, so they feel like that's what they should do. I'm counseling people right now to stop and take a breath, and maybe it's not the best time because it is blowing out budgets. What they need and what they can get are two different things. So the low interest rates to me is what spawned it. Coronavirus didn't help because everybody stayed at home and they realized that they want to have a nicer home or a bigger home because they're going to be home all the time. So they wanted a pool. So now then people are like, I got to get a bigger, better because, you know, I'm at home stuck with my kids all the time or whatever the case may be. It is definitely a challenge. I am not actually having a lot of fun right now with my buyers. And so a lot of talks with God and my coach and a lot of patience is just the only thing getting me through some of these days for my poor buyers because we just can't find anything.
It's been a very frustrating time. As much fun as it's been, it's also been very frustrating, but what a fantastic answer. So thank you so much for joining us today, Steve. It has been such a pleasure getting to chat with you.
Absolutely, Tori and Mike. Thank you guys so much. It's a huge honor. I hope I provided some insight and I'd love to be on again with my brother. We can make some hilarious stuff.
We'd love to have you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm your host, Coppers, with my awesome co-host,
Tori.
You've been listening to New Home Stars Real Estate Rockstars Podcast.
Rock it out.
New Home Stars Real Estate Rockstars is Aaron Clark,
Michael Coppers,
Tori Ringhausen,
Allison Letterman,
and Angelina Garola. Our theme music is Starlight by QB.